my heart medication, but my God is for us, so God is faithful, God is good. And literally, we left her scheduled, so. So, today we come to our last lesson on the church's mission statement, our measures and our values. As I'm sure you recall, our mission statement in this is calling everyone to grow together in the abundant life of Christ. So our desire, our entire family at NCC, to know who we're able to reach, will grow together as a family of God, as well as grow as individuals together as one. So, no matter who you are, whether you are a brand new believer, or someone that has been a believer for years, we are all still learning and growing and experiencing the abundant life. An abundant life with love, with forgiveness, of hope and joy, of victory over our weaknesses. A life that has been restored in our relationship with our Creator, who was broken through disobedience. Near a tree in the garden, and redeemed through grace and obedience on a tree in the garden. So we share the values that we hold dear in our lives and help us to grow. We strive to live lives that are dependent on God, that are equipped with Scripture, that are led by compassion, and sent on a mission into a lost world that we all once called home, in hopes of guiding others to the hope we have found in Christ. Last time we shared our measures, what I would call our how-tos, abiding daily to continue to draw our strength, our spiritual nourishment, through Christ we grow more into our Creator, becoming like Christ as we abide, we allow the Holy Spirit to do His transformative work in our lives. We allow God to move through us. Connecting to family. They say it takes a village to raise a child. The same is true for the believer. I know many lone Christians who feel they do not need church or other believers to have a successful spiritual life. But in my experience, it's the lone Christians that struggle the most. They often are most susceptible to strange doctrine, to ignoring their vices in their lives, and failing to grow and share their faith. Which brings us to our last measure, developing faithfulness. So how are we to accomplish all these things that I've just described? How are we to begin our new lives with God and know which direction to go? As God starts to move through us, how do we pour out on others who are not in the setting and situation that allow us to learn, to serve, to grow? There's a biblical method to this that we see in many areas of life called discipleship. The word discipleship or disciple may paint an odd picture in some people's minds. To be a disciple, you don't have to go a long road or spend years wandering the countryside, unless you're into that. I think a better word in the English language to describe a disciple is to be an apprentice. So the question we need to ask ourselves in the measure of developing faithfulness is, how am I growing as an apprentice of Christ? I spent the last 39 years of my life in the construction industry, working for a large union construction company. The employment model of this company was to hire young people to put them through an apprenticeship. So the young person is hired and agrees to work with a journeyman carpenter. And as you work alongside this journeyman, you will over time learn from the trade. And once you have turned out, you in turn are given an apprentice to work alongside you, both to assist you and to train up. There are different steps as you progress through the apprenticeship. First, you would watch and listen. Sometimes you just watch and listen and fetch. And over time with the teacher, you would get to help and ask questions. And as your helping actually helped, and your questions actually made sense, you get to start doing. And after doing and showing yourself as able, you become a journeyman, and you're soon given an apprentice of your own. This apprenticeship is what Jesus calls us to when we decide to follow him. In Scripture, we see the 12 deciding to follow Jesus. At first, they watch and listen to the teacher. Over time, they get to help Jesus and serve others, fetching loaves and fishes. And then they get to start to do. By Matthew 10, the 12 get sent out together to get their feet wet, healing. And over time, spending time with Jesus, listening, learning, and following, we get to Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus gives a great commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always, in the name of the age. Excuse me. So throughout the rest of my message, we'll use the word apprentice and disciples interchangeably. Same meaning. And so, as apprentices, as disciples of Jesus, we are called to learn from the teacher, to serve others as did the teacher, to bring forth the word of God, lead others to learn from Jesus, who will serve others as did Jesus, bring forth the word of God, lead others, and so on and so on. Disciples of Jesus make disciples of Jesus, who make disciples. So our text today is 2 Timothy chapter 2, where we find the Apostle Paul writing the last letter. He's in prison, facing an execution that has been a long time coming, and he writes to Timothy, the young disciple, who had come to faith through Paul's teaching. Now let's pray. Father God, as we look to your word, pray, Lord, that you would speak to us. You speak through us. Show us your will for our lives. Your will for our lives in you as we walk with you and we serve you, Lord. Direct us and guide us. Open our ears and help us to focus on your things. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. It says, you've been my child. Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men, who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of his crops. Think over what I say, the Lord will give you everything. For time's sake, I won't read it. Remember Christ Jesus risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as I preach in my gospel, which I am suffering, bound in chains of eternity. But the word of God is not bound, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect. But they also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy for we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So Paul starts out with, you've been my child. Chapter 2, verse 1, you've been my child. The New King James and several other versions say, therefore, my son. Now it's always taught to see therefore, and make it back up a couple of paragraph, find out what it's there for. So for time's sake, I won't read it all, but in chapter 1, verse 7, Paul says, God gave us the spirit not to fear, but of power, love, and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or of me as a prisoner, but share in the suffering for the gospel power of God, who saved us and called us to the world of power. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death, brought life and mortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher, which is why I suffer and I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have to believe, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you heard from me, faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So Paul says, by God's grace, for his purpose, and by his spirit we've been saved and empowered and called and set apart for his purpose. Not because of who we are or what we've done, but because of his grace and his purpose.
Amen.
Praise God. So going back to chapter 2, verse 1, it says, therefore, because of this, because of these things, be strong, be empowered by the grace that is in Jesus. As we abide in him, we listen, we apply God's word, we're empowered to do his will. So we need to ask ourselves, am I abiding in such a way that I feel empowered to do God's will? Verse 2 says, and what you've heard from me in the presence of many people, many witnesses, and trust the faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So again, we see the great commission. Go therefore and disciple, baptizing them in the name of the Father. Basically saying, we'll make disciples, you make disciples. So think about the disciples in the grace. Biblically, it's very different between being a regular Christian and being an apprentice of Christ. Should there be? You know, often people say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but I don't want to study the Bible. Shouldn't be the difference. In my time in the construction trade, I've worked and saw many apprentices who weren't really there necessarily to do their best to master their craft. They were there for the benefits, literally. The union, the pay is great, the full health benefits, full retirement. Their hearts really weren't in trying to emulate the master. They just talked into the 40-hour check and enjoyed the benefits. Likewise, as a believer, I've met many experienced myself at times when my heart wasn't in my discipleship. Was I there just for the benefits, salvation? Or am I willing to live the empowered life, first born, into the call? I think that's a question we need to ask ourselves as often as possible. And verse 2 says, and what you have heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, and trust of faithful men who are able to teach others also. So Paul tells Timothy, be boldly empowered. Take all of these amazing truths of God's grace and mercy, and trust them to faithful men that will love. Be able to teach others, become disciples, become disciples. Notice how Paul says, to faithful men. Scripture is looking for apprentices to be faithful and dedicated to the master's plan. What good would it be to give the message of eternal life to an unfaithful servant who just gets your ticket punched, saved, and then sticks the message in their pocket and moves on with life? God is looking for faithful men and women who are willing to pass on his message to others, who are willing to pass on that message to you. In the next few verses, Paul compares the believer to three other individuals. Verse 3 says, sharing in the suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian proceedings, since his aim is to please the one who enlists him. A good soldier is dedicated to the cause, faithful to the task. Paul isn't saying a soldier can't have a personal life, can't be married with kids and a job. So those things should not interfere or deter the mission. I knew a young man that dedicated his life to Christ. He said, I preached, and he was on fire. He was sharing his plans where he was going to preach the gospel and when he would become a pastor. It was very exciting. From there, he got a job and met a girl, got some debt. Let's say those were tied together. And he got married, and although he still loves the Lord,
bless
him. His passion to teach one, no more than try to. So I think that's what Paul was saying. Verse 4 echoes verse 3. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Same as a soldier, the athlete wants to win, he must be focused. Fully committed. They can have a personal life, but not one that deters them from the task at hand. Finally, verse 6 is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first crops and share the crops. If the farmer wants to enjoy the fruit of his labor, he needs to toil the soil. Paul tells Timothy, think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding. Verse 8 through 13. Remember Christ Jesus, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect. They also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with the eternal glory. Paul reminds him, if you not forget the resurrection, that Jesus of Nazareth, born of a virgin, through the line of David, died in our place and rose to life. He's telling Timothy these things in a setting that we can't really relate to. Paul is very shortly going to be killed because of his faith in Christ and his unwillingness to stop sharing the gospel. Paul says sharing the message of Jesus to others is far more important than keeping God's word to himself. The question is ticking, getting saved, and moving on. Now he says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation of the Christ Jesus, the eternal Lord. For the saying is trustworthy, we die with him, we will live with him. We endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, we will also deny us. If we are faithless, you are his faithful and we will deny himself. Have you ever asked yourself what you would do if it became illegal to worship God? The answer would all in Matthew 28:19. Would we hide and pray in the dark? Or like Daniel in chapter 6, when praying to any god except the king was punished by death. He was ripped open the drapes and worshiped for all to see. Remember that story? Daniel 6. Daniel was just about to be raised up to the highest position in the land. And the other political leaders in the land didn't like Daniel. Set up a trap. Set up laws to send them to jail to get them out of the way so they couldn't be elevated. But our politicians. issues that we have today. So would we be willing to not only be jailed, to die, rather than stop teaching the word of God? In years past, this idea would have sounded pretty far-fetched to happen in the United States. But we see more and more protests for the things of God, and more lifting up and acceptance of things that mock God through his very time. Paul goes on to encourage Timothy. Remind them of these things and charge them before God. Not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Great advice for Timothy to give those he teaches. Sharing God's word would properly connect with the ruler or partner to listen. We are not to sugarcoat the gospel, but it should be preached in love. It's a message of love, hope, and forgiveness. He tells Timothy, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. A worker has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Basically, he says to Timothy, know the word of God. Know the truth. Teach others to know the truth. To teach others. Verse 16 says, but avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And their talk will spread gangrene. Spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection had already happened. They are upsetting the faith of some. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows who are his, and that everyone who names the name of the Lord will depart from him. The chapter goes on. Now in a great house there are many not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel of honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, and ready for good work. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace. Along with those who call on the Lord from the heart, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies that they know will breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth. They may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil for being captured. So in 2 Timothy, we see the charge of Timothy and of us as well. We are to learn from the Master, imitate that Master, teach others to learn from the Master, to imitate that Master. So back to our first question. How are we growing as an apprentice of Christ? Are we abiding daily, seeking to be like the Master? Are we connecting the family to serve others? Have we prioritized sharing God's word to faithful men and women and teaching them to do these things? Have we accepted Christ to simply enjoy the benefits that come with knowing him? The themes I've shared today, the themes that Rev. Kevin and DJ have shared during our time at the beginning of the mission statement, is what we believe God has called us to prioritize at CC. That we are calling everyone.